It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob's Boneheads.
You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
That's the circus music. As more texts are coming in, our buddy Blake Schneiders, he just sent me a text. Does using a T9 calculator work is something you used to have a great skill set at?
That's wonderful.
You had to buy those when I was in school because all your friends had them. It had Mario or whatever it was on it that you could play games with. Plus, it was like it made everything easier once you knew the algorithm. Like once you knew how to use it. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was you were plugging in equations and then being like, and then they do the whole double standard. Now show your work. Well, come over here, Mrs. Anderson, and I'll show you exactly what I just did.
You know, nowadays, they're showing the teacher ChatGPT once
they're
done.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, what's funny is, like, back in our day, the teachers always used to say, you're never going to be carrying around a calculator in your pocket all the time. You don't have any idea what we're carrying around today, Miss Johnson, yeah, I'll tell you.
You can solve world peace on those things. They were crazy.
And I mean, to give more context to the QR code that my buddy Matt had sent me, he said the controversy is now with major saver cards because it's all digital.
Okay.
And parents are losing their minds over something they never use.
You said parents and I checked out.
We want the card. We want the card.
Parents don't want the QR code. So Karen and Karen 2 and Karen 3 and Karen 4 are all down at the school bitching and moaning about this.
I might back up the Karens here. You've seen the size of Girl Scout cookies now? And how few of them are coming in the packages?
Oh, they've been a ripoff for years.
They're $6 a box now.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies have been a ripoff for years.
It's not about the price. It's about what you're doing for the Scout team.
Mm-hmm. It's about the cookies.
Yeah, but eventually you got to get people some kind of return on their $6 box of cookies. Here's three tag-alongs. And what?
I think I only buy two different types. I buy the peanut butter patties. The other one, the chocolate?
Yeah. With the peanut butter on top. Oh. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then the lemonades.
Oh, you don't buy the Thin Mints?
I buy
not anymore. I overdid the Thin Mints.
Okay, so that's one thing you're never going back to.
Yeah,
I get you.
As a kid, you got pizza from one pizza place your whole life. You're probably not eating that pizza anymore. Like, Thin Mints were always in the freezer, and that silver wrapping, you just popped it open, boom, cold Thin Mint. But I say that, and I'm contradicting because I do that with a peanut butter patty. So
yeah, but that's not the Thin Mint. It's a different candy.
It's fair.
Different cookie, yeah. That's fair. So you get burnt out on food. It happens all the time.
I think one box of Thin Mints will be in my freezer every winter. I think that's going
to
happen.
Talk to my stepmom. There's two, and nobody touches them. It's like an alarm system.
What's worse, moms complaining at the school or Twitter? I mean, it's six of one, half a dozen of another.
Or complaining about somebody being nice to a coach who just got beat in dramatic fashion.
Yeah, and that's my bonehead of the week. It's everybody who's complaining about Lynn Jones. And she was on television in Jacksonville yesterday. And she responds to kind of how everything went down.
Adam Scheffner wrote, this is an awesome post-game exchange between a reporter and Jags head coach. But then Mark Long, who's an AP reporter, kind of went in on this.
Yes.
And he said nothing awesome about this, called you fake media, said that you shouldn't even have been up there asking those kind of questions. Oh. So when you heard that, how did that make you feel?
I don't take no offense to it. Listen, I've been in this business more than 25 years. I've interviewed from Barack Obama to Terry Bradshaw to what's my guy named Tiger Woods. So you can say whatever you want about fake news. I am a member of the Black
Wanda
Press.
Sykes?
NNPA, the National Newspaper Association, that's been around more than 100 years. I'm the associate editor of the Jacksonville Free Press, one of the more than 230 African-American newspapers still printing in this country today. In Jacksonville, you have the Florida Star since 1955. We've been around since 1986. In Philadelphia, the Tribune, the Philly Tribune has been printing since 1884.
In
my hometown of Detroit, the Michigan Chronicle has been printing since 1935. So support the Black Press. So he can call me fake all you want to, honey. I've been doing this a long time.
Let me tell you.
People know me. Let me tell you about my resume. I've interviewed Barack Obama, Terry Bradshaw, Tiger Woods. I guarantee you her resume of people that she interviewed is deeper than anybody that was in that room on Sunday night interviewing a football coach. This woman is awesome. She's fantastic. She's lovely. She's what this world needs. She talked more about going viral.
I mean, did you know this was going to throw you into the spotlight?
I did not. I really did not. I mean, it was a typical day. Go to the press box And it was just an overwhelming day. I can tell you that this entire city, this town, our team, our city, and our coach, we were overwhelmed. I mean, and I really was not going to attend the press conference, mm-hmm. but I left out. I was talking to a young man. I'm sure he knows who he is, 23-year-old young man. We're just talking about the game. I'm telling him I'm from Michigan, this and that, and I'm giving him some words. He said, ma'am, he said, you need to go ahead and go attend the press conference. Oh. So I went back. I went down, went through how we maneuvered through, and I sat there, and everyone was back there, and then coach, word up, coach. So coach came out, and he was his emotions. He was totally immersed, mm-hmm. his feelings. He had tears. He bit his lip. And the issue is the question, not necessarily a question in the fourth quarter, in the fourth down, and the punt came through.
Right.
But my question was, keep your head up, young man. Yeah. Mm. Young man, you, this entire year, we have rooted for this team over more than 30 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, the stadium, the solemnness, we were rooting, I mean, it was packed. So he was like, yes, ma'am, thank you. So now I'm the new grandma.
You probably needed to hear it.
Yeah.
So you always say relatable, right, mm-hmm. Dusty? And I'm listening to Lynn Jones, the reporter who asked the question or made the statement to, mm-hmm. you know, Liam Cohen, and she is what we talk about all the time, relatable. She is relating to her audience. She is relating to the people that, you know, read her publication. She's relating to the feel that's going on with everybody that was in Jacksonville over the last couple of months watching this football team. We know what it's like. We know what a magical ride it is when our sports teams do well. We've had that experience many times in the last 11 years, 12 years now here in Kansas City. And so we understand what that does. Jacksonville's never really had that before. And so she's experiencing the renaissance of a football team in a city and watching everybody come together and be part of this. And everybody's in one. It brings the whole city together. And she was sharing that with the coach because he did look down. Even my wife said to me yesterday, she goes, did you see the way his face changed and how much happier he looked after she said that to him as well? I just can't believe we sit here on a Tuesday and there are people still out there that are upset with this. And I just say, if you are upset with that, probably good to look in the mirror and check who you are. And to those journalists out there who are saying journalism and all this nonsense, journalism has changed so much over the years, folks. I mean, if you're still operating under the old guard, we got to hold these coaches accountable. You're doing it wrong, man. People just want to be fans of their team. They want to see their team win. You asking what they were doing on third and one is not going to, you know, recreate the atom or solve anything. Just let people have their day and let people have their moment. That literally took 20 seconds, and it has people mad now for, what, 48, 72 hours over that.
Yeah, and it's just over people that, you know, might think that what they ask seems to be more important. And at the end of the day, the most important thing you can do as a human society is just to be kind and be nice. And unfortunately, the people that had a problem with it, I can tell you, not the kindest and not the nicest.
Some people are backtracking on it too, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. But the one that really set it off, boy, she was not nice to me when she was here. And that's a fact, sympathy for her. Good for that woman. Good for her for doubling down.
Mm-hmm. What's my guy named Tiger Woods?
That's right.
I interviewed Barack Obama, Terry Bradshaw, and Tiger Woods. Show me your resume. And yeah, like, 25-year-old newspaper man who's concerned with the all 22.
Right.
Also, what did you accomplish?
Also, I'd like to know the context of that press conference. Like, was that the last question? Was that in the middle of them trying to figure out why Trevor Lawrence threw the pass? Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, some of these people, you weren't there. It doesn't involve you.
Yeah, that's the
and
other
we just,
thing.
We get so upset.
Nothing to do with Pittsburgh, Brooke.
Like, I see the text line every week. When, why didn't you ask Andy this question? You let him off the hook, whatever else. And it's like, he's not going to give us those responses. He's one of those guys that's walled off to something like that because either you're treated like Ben Johnson or you're treated like this lady for being too nice or too maybe ruthless. I don't know the term I'm thinking of. So instead you get the, yeah, we're going to try better next week. Starts with me. We got to be better at some things. We'll get practice and we'll get back out there. We're looking forward to the challenge. And people get mad about that.
Also, how many times can you count on your hand using one finger? How many times has this ever happened in a press conference? You've never seen this. You've never seen anybody do this. And one person does it, and it's like, this is just unprofessional. It's not what reporters should do. I get it. You don't have to like it. And you can learn from this, where it's one of those things where it's like, hey, nothing against the question, but next time if you want, you're more than welcome to pull Liam to the side and tell him exactly how you feel. I appreciate that. Hey, no, we appreciate you like kind of breaking the ice in here and making things fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get that. But to go on out of nowhere and then get ratioed because you don't like it, you weren't there, you weren't involved.
But that's what people do in this generation now, is we insert ourselves and involve ourselves in stuff that doesn't involve us.
Yeah, go worry about commas, Brooke. Coming up on the other side, we'll rank some quarterbacks and we'll talk about Justin Herbert and a fair stat to maybe pump the brakes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Stepfather Jeff said he also would write down mileage at the gas pump. Said his dad started before he did. Back before the fancy computers and cars, if your gas mileage went down, you'd know something was wrong with your car.
That is true. I vaguely remember that kind of from my childhood right now. Speaking of my childhood, my dad
only
is
getting 30 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, my dad's watching today on the YouTube, and he sends me this text. He goes, I don't understand what's going on. He says, I can hear your voice, but I can't see you. And we've kind of been talking about that, like, you know, for a little bit this morning, more off the air than on the air. So what we want you to do is go to our YouTube channel, 965, subscribe and like our YouTube page. But if anybody has any ideas about what's going on here and can share them with us, let us know, because it is perplexing that the camera's on. Everything, maybe it's foreshadowing, I don't know. Everything is being shown.
No, there's no shadow.
But me.
You're just Alex Gordon's head with a Maloney's cup and a smokehouse barbecue sauce behind you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is a shadow even up there at all? There's like nothing, right?
No, you're like Kevin Bacon and Hollow Man.
That's crazy. I don't understand how this is working. Nathan, I know you don't know either, right?
Permanently replace you with a smokehouse ad. Just blow it up and put it in the seat and move on.
Works just the same, yeah.
No, I have no idea what's going on. We had this problem the week before Christmas.
And
Spec, he swears that the camera doesn't need a break. So we gave it a break over the holidays.
Sure, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, here we are.
The microphone needed a break.
New Year's
heating and air conditioning needed a break. Parking lot needed a break.
Parking lots needed a break for about five
years. Yeah, a lot of stuff needs a break around here. The ceiling with the leaky roof, that needed a break as well, right? Yeah. So this is really weird, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no clue what's going on. At least they can hear you.
Yeah.
I picked a wrong day for my mustache to grow out.
And we could always choose to flip the camera around, too, because Dusty's is working. But we do promote him as ruggedly handsome during the breaks.
That's right. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah.
What is the definition of ruggedly handsome?
You look like the Marlboro Man, I guess, is what I would say, right? Like, that's what I picture ruggedly handsome as, the Marlboro Man.
I just think about Spec sitting in there drafting that, just like hitting on you and Gold at the same time. Just like, I don't know. I hope you're not uncomfortable.
No, it's fine. Totally get it. Yeah. I mean, it's weird that you're there and you're not there. It's just gorgeous.
Are my hands moving, or is there anything up here, down there, all over the place? Nothing, huh?
You're like that Clint Eastwood ad from back in the day, just an empty chair. Sorry.
It's sooner than rather than later, baby.
Yeah, the ghost of Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens with Nathan as well, here on 96.5 The Fan. Some quarterbacks in the playoffs remaining are as followed: Bo Nix, Drake May, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford. Is it far and away Josh Allen's the best in this group?
I think so. I think there's two, in my opinion, that are at the top of the list of that group. If I was, you know, ranking them, it would be Allen and Stafford. I think those are my top two quarterbacks that are still left in the playoffs. I don't know if you guys differ, how you feel about that. But I think Josh Allen has earned that right now. I think Matthew Stafford has also obviously earned that right now to be ranked as one and two as the quarterbacks left in this league.
I think the conversation is, who would be your third choice?
Okay. Mine is Brock Purdy right now.
I don't hate that.
What about you?
I don't hate Brock Purdy being third success-wise.
Yeah.
He's been to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He is different in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like we never have, and maybe this is just me not paying enough attention, but at least for me, there's never the conversation of, can Brock Purdy show up? Is Brock Purdy of this Brock Purdy going to show up? Is there any question again with Brock Purdy when it comes to the Niners? Now, speaking of overshadowing, I think a lot of the story with San Fran has leaned on the head coach as it merits, it should merit that, because what he's done with what he's faced with, what is it, like the microbolics or whatever they had, the story was about the metal in the close to the stadium causing injury. We just saw George Kittle have some tequila with a torn Achilles tendon. Right. I don't blame him for that. But it is interesting when you look at the names on this list. And I think the question of who you would take at third, because the names on this list again are as followed: Bo Nix, Drake May, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, Matthew Stafford, Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Sam Darnold. There's a lot of unknown on this list, and three of the unknowns fall in the category of Bo Nix, Drake May, and Caleb Williams. Bo Nix has played one playoff game and got bounced early against Josh Allen. It wasn't their year last year. It was a good year for Denver, but we all knew it wasn't their year.
Now you're the one seed. Let's see what you can do.
Now you're playing your backyard. Your defense Buffalo is better. Exactly. Drake May seems to fit the part. He looked a little nervous in the pocket to start. Mahomes looked nervous in the first playoff game he played against the Patriots. In the second half, you're like, oh, there he is. That's the guy we thought we had. And it took some adjustment. Drake May, I still think, threw for, what, 260, ran for 60, had three touchdowns in the game, or two touchdowns, threw a piercing touchdown from 28 yards out to Hunter Henry, who he's made relevant, which I think is part of the product of the quarterback. I mean, Hunter Henry's been around for, gosh, I don't know, long time. Mm-hmm. He's in L.A. for a while, or San Diego, whatever it was, and now he's made his name felt with Drake May in New England.
And doing it against his former team. It was really cool to see that. I have Drake May as my fourth quarterback on this list right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's Brock Purdy would be my third, mm-hmm. and then I think you could have a conversation between Drake May and Caleb Williams.
And that's what I have. I have Drake May fourth. I have Caleb Williams fifth on my list. I have C.J. Stroud sixth. And then I have Darnold and Bo Nix tied for the end. Yeah, like it's playoff Sam Darnold. I mean, we saw it last year. It hasn't been good, you know, in the past, obviously, with the one experience that he had. So I think the jury is still out on Sam Darnold. I think the jury, quite honestly, is still out on Bo Nix. I don't know what he's going to be like in the playoffs
I think Bo Nix is about the 15th best quarterback left. I think he's atrocious. I don't think a team's won in spite of their quarterback more in recent memory than this Broncos team. He could prove me wrong. I'm with you though on Sam Darnold. I think that Seahawks team is the best team from start to from top to bottom that's left. I just don't know if I trust him to not go into his shell for two straight games.
Yeah, it's tough to play under pressure, right? It's a different kind of experience playing in the postseason. Some people are able to do it, Patrick. Other people aren't able to do it. You know, we've seen Josh Allen not be able to do it so far.
Let me ask you a question: fair or unfair? The same narrative for Bo Nix that it is for Sam Darnold.
I think it's fair.
One seats.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Both took your team to that place that you need to be, to where everything runs through you and your home. Bo Nix, maybe a lot to prove due to the fact that there are people that say, well, he's just riding the coattails of a defense. They're kind of flukes. They, you know, had to come back from 33-13 against the Giants and won. But again, that's all regular season stuff. So I put all that on hold. Mm-hmm. And we could have that judgment when the regular season starts.
Yeah, coming back against the Giants is not the same as playing Buffalo this weekend.
And I think there is a lot of – I think there's more pressure on Bo Nix in this game than there is Josh Allen. I think there's more pressure on Matthew Stafford than there is Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams has won his pot, right? I think he's playing with house money at this point. They turned it around this year. He took fewer sacks. The accuracy is still a little bit confusing, but he made big plays and big moments against big teams. Like that regular season game that he ended in overtime against Green Bay, that was a perfect throw, great catch too from DJ Moore. Did it again against Green Bay on 4th and 8 to save their season, save that drive, and keep things going for Chicago. So he's kind of played with house money up to this point because of what he's done. I think that's a fair thing for Caleb. Now, he can continue to pad his legacy with a win over the Rams in this week's game and then move on to the NFC Championship game. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you're having the conversation you see is like Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, right? Like you would have that conversation. The same thing can be said about Sam Darnold and Bo Nix. Bo Nix, playoff football, can you be the guy that can get your team to the next step? Can you get to the AFC Championship game in Denver the first time since, what, 2015?
Yeah.
And Sam Darnold, same thing. You've won big games, right? You've won big games in this season. You got your team the one seed, but now the playoffs start and you play your rival in the San Francisco 49ers, and they're ready to play you, whether they're beat up or not. And again, it goes back to, like, what guy in this time period of the season is going to show up? We always say this all the time with the Chiefs. Just get to January. Just get to January. Because you know what Mahomes is in January. You know what Josh Allen is in January. That's why Josh Allen's on the top of this list.
Yeah.
Yes, he's probably the most talented quarterback in this group. He's not the MVP this year. He's probably the third best quarterback when it comes to the season this year. You'd probably go Mayer, Stafford, and then you'd go Josh Allen. And I think when you look at Bo Nix and Sam Darnold in their respective games as the one seed hosting with a week off, it's like, okay, you played Buffalo before. You played San Francisco. You played them week one, and you played them in like week 16. And now you're playing them when it really matters. So that's where I think the game gets lost with people's legacies is that, yes, you can have the success of the regular season and get the one seed and make the playoffs and have, you know, fluke wins or whatever it may be. And you might say, yeah, well, whatever. But then when the playoffs start, and Drake may answer that question because unfortunately he didn't get the one seed, but he got the first shot at his career in the playoffs in the postseason, and he won. Now he played a Chargers team that a lot of people can say, well, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. The Chargers limped in. They were beat up. Justin Herbert was the most sacked quarterback of the season, got hit over 150 times in the season. It was in New England. Okay, but they still won. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen that quarterback that had the great season get to the playoffs and then lose? Josh Allen did against Houston, right, in his first playoff game, lost. And so I think that there are things that can be made when it comes to this list. And maybe in 3 years from now, we're going, Caleb Williams went to the NFC Championship game in back-to-back years and played in the Super Bowl, didn't win anything, but at least he got there. And it kind of gives me that realization that when we watch these games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and I don't really know which side of the day is better, Saturday for us because recreationally it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sunday kind of a school night, right? But I think that when you look at these games, I think there will be more pressure on the quarterbacks that are not the experienced ones as opposed to the ones that are unexperienced because of that unexperience.
Yeah, see, I only think there's one quarterback with pressure in the postseason. I think it's Josh Allen. I think he's the only quarterback that has any pressure to win right now. Matthew Stafford already has that Super Bowl win. Purdy's playing with a bunch of injured players and carrying these guys. I mean, he's done unbelievable. May is basically in his second season and they're rebuilding New England. Not a lot of pressure there. Caleb's already won the game, you know, that he needed to win. C.J. Stroud, it's Houston. There's not a lot of pressure down there by anybody. And then you have Sam Darnold, who, you know, kind of is a vagabond quarterback, bounces from place to place to place. And Bo Nix, who is kind of on house money at this time as kind of that number one quarterback. So I think when you're talking about the pressure to win, there's only one person in this playoffs. Well, two people, McDermott and Josh Allen, that have pressure. This is finally the time that they have. The door is wide open for these guys, right? It is wide open right now. If you would have told them at the beginning of the season, you're going to be the sixth seed, you're going to have to go on the road, and there's going to be no Mahomes. There's going to be no Joe Burrow there in your way. There's going to be no Lamar Jackson in your way. But you're the sixth seed and you still have to go on the road. Would you sign up for this right now? And I guarantee you Buffalo would have signed up for that on opening day, right? I think anybody probably would have signed up for that. Oh, the sixth seed, where are we going to have to go with no Mahomes, no Jackson, and no Burrow? Well, maybe Denver and beat Bo Nix, maybe, you know, wherever, Vegas or wherever the case may be. So I think right now, and I, honest to God, I don't know, in my opinion, if there's been more pressure on a quarterback coach combination in the playoffs that we've ever seen that is on Josh Allen and Sean McDermott right now, because there should be nobody standing in their way. They should go out there and take care of business with the team that they have, the quarterback they have, the experience that they have, and nobody standing in their way. I think this is the most pressure that I've ever seen in a playoff for a quarterback and a coach, because you may never have this opportunity again where everybody's fallen by the wayside, just like when KU in 08, they played an 11, they played a 9, they played an 8 seed. Everybody fell in their way, and they found a way to win a national championship. You've got to take advantage of that if you're Buffalo right now.
Yeah, the comps that I keep seeing for Josh Allen this year is the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, yeah, yep. It's a great comp, yeah.
When Jordan wasn't there, can you go get it done? Even though people might hate you for it and say it, be like, oh, well, they won it when Jordan wasn't there, you still want it. Now, the reason I say Bo Nix and Sam Darnold is because if they do get beat, then what is their story? I mean, you're the one seed, you had the home field advantage, you had the week off, and yet you still got beat. Now, I think when it comes to Seattle, who plays San Francisco, I think there'll be more scrutiny towards Sam Darnold because it'd be like, there's no George Kittle, there was no Bosa, there mm-hmm. was no Fred Warner. Pearsall's a game-time decision. They had Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, and they still beat you with Christian McCaffrey, who is still an absolute bona fide stud and a certified G. But then you look at Denver, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Denver's done a lot with cap hell, a failed product in Russell Wilson, and they took a chance on Bo Nix, and so far so good for them because they've been in the playoffs. But at some point, and this is when it goes back to the Tomlin topic, at some point, if you're making the playoffs every year but you're not successful in the playoffs don't hold that value anymore because you're not winning when it matters. And if Bo Nix this year wants to put a lot of that narrative away where they schemed by on teams or they got by the skin of their teeth but still won, and people say, but he made plays. Like, he made the 3rd-and-16 play against the Chiefs.
He made
in the
a couple of
quarter.
Plays against Chiefs, yeah.
And he's done that. We'll see if he can do that in the playoffs against a team like Josh Allen, because for the narrative of Josh Allen to do it without Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar in there, eventually Bo Nix is going to have to do it with Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes in there. Uh-huh. And this is a test for him right now because a lot of people say Bo Nix is riding the coattails of a defense. He might be doing that. C.J. Stroud might be doing that. But again, C.J. Stroud's been in the playoffs. He's won playoff games. Last night was an last night he created more pressure for him.
He was terrible last night.
It's awful.
Awful last night.
Awful.
And so I look at Bo Nix and you say, what will the story be if they lose to Buffalo? I think it's a simple story if you lose to Buffalo. Hey, man, we're ahead of schedule. We were ahead of schedule right now where we are, and we didn't expect to be this good this fast, and Bo will learn. That's how you spin that. Well, that's an easy spin.
I thought that was last year's narrative for Denver.
No. I think it's this year. I think it's this year.
Russell money's coming off the books.
Yeah, we get some weapons. We can surround him. Yep. We're moving forward. Like, that's an easy spin out.
So he gets 3 years, but Justin Herbert gets zero.
Oh, Justin Herbert's had.
Justin Herbert's been around since
COVID.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor's lung was punctured in COVID, the COVID season, yeah.
Yeah, and Justin Herbert's played in 3 playoff games, and he's lost 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix would be right behind him if he loses this Saturday.
Yeah, he'd be 0-2, right, in the postseason.
I think that's the narrative in Denver, though. Maybe not, it's not the fair narrative. I think Denver is saying, hey, we're happy with where
that's
we are.
That's where I'm coming from. Lose. I'm coming from, like, if you're Sean Payton, you're the Denver organization, and you're giving the post-mortem press conference on a Monday afternoon, you're sitting there going, hey, man, we're ahead of schedule. We feel really good about where we are. Great point by you, Nathan, too. All that, Russell Wilson money is coming off the books. We can get back to getting some weapons. We feel really good about where we are as an organization right now. And the Sam Darnold one, like if he doesn't play well up there, yeah, I don't know what the spin is on that, because I think Dusty's right. With all the injuries that San Francisco's, facing and what they have right now, Seattle should be a better team. They should get that win over them. And if they don't, and Sam Darnold has 3 interceptions in that game, then that's a conversation people are going to have to talk to Sam Darnold about. And maybe you say, yeah, you talked about seeing ghosts years ago in New York. Maybe you're just not one of those players that can win when the pressure's the most.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Dusty, on that being the more pressure between the two of those quarterbacks. I think Darnold would have the second most pressure out of any quarterback in the playoffs for me, but it still is
behind Josh Allen. I don't disagree with that.
Allen's the only one that has something to lose in my mind, whereas Darnold is looked at as a bad playoff quarterback right now. Bo Nix, I think outside of Denver, everyone looks at Bo Nix and thinks this guy isn't the goods. I mean, like, really, if we're being honest, he's not the goods. He beat the Jets 13-11, right? I mean, big whoop. Josh Allen has everything to lose, and I just think we do this thing where when he's lost in the playoffs in the past, we've said, hey, it's because of the quarterback matchup. And then now last week, in preparation of the playoffs, everyone at ESPN is saying, well, quarterback matchups don't matter. And they're already trying to justify Josh Allen losing. If you told the Bills, like,
wait, you cannot say quarterback matchups don't matter.
I'm with
they
you 100%.
Do.
Yeah. They do. And we've said they do when Josh Allen loses.
Yeah.
We've said it's because of Patrick Mahomes. It's because of Joe Burrow. So if you would have told the Bills, like you were starting to get to, Bob, that you go to the playoffs, but you don't have these quarterbacks, to get more specific, if your route to the playoffs is Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, and C.J. Stroud, you better go to that Super Bowl
even
if you're
Drake
an all-time
May
great.
At that
or
point
Drake
in time.
May, whatever. Yeah. You better go to the Super Bowl if you're an all-time great.
That's interesting. Trevor Lawrence, Bo Nix, and potentially C.J. Stroud or Drake May.
It's a joke.
Yeah, that's an easy route to the Super Bowl if you're Josh Allen. You've got to capitalize.
And there's only one home team that is favored in the playoffs in the divisional. I'm sorry, there's only one road team that's favored in the playoffs, and that's the Rams. Because it depends on where you get your books as well. BetMGM, DraftKings both have.
What was the one last week where we were both like completely on opposite ends of the spectrum with the spread?
Well, I mean, I said Houston was going to win by 3, and you thought Pittsburgh would win.
No, but there was a spread that I saw was like 3.5. You're like, I got 1.5.
Oh, it was San Francisco, and they were favored by 4.5, and then some people had them at 5.5.
Yeah, something. I don't remember what it was.
BetMGM has the Bills +1. They have the Niners +7.5. They have the Texans +2.5, and they have the Rams -3.5. Those are all your road teams. So no love for the Bears. And then if you go to like DraftKings as well, They have the Bills at +1.5. They have the Niners at +7.5. They have Houston at +3 and the Rams at -3.5. So only one home team or only one home team is underdog, and that is the Bears, who play the last game of the weekend on Sunday at 5:30.
At this point in time, the home team should be the favorite, right? That's kind of questionable that the Bears are the underdog in that one. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The Denver Broncos are favorite, so they're a home team. So yeah, the Bills 1.5 on the road is given. The Niners +7.5 on the road. Seattle 7.5 is just...
That's a big number.
Oh, I mean, you should hammer San Francisco 7.5.
But again, all those injuries too, you know?
Rivalry game.
I know, it's crazy. Just, every time we say this each week about San Francisco, that's why, look, you know I'm a Mike Tomlin apologist to the day I die, but now Kyle Shanahan has more playoff wins than Mike Tomlin does.
Kyle Shanahan, man, he's going to be able to scheme up a couple of touchdown drives with anybody, with Jags. With these guys are below Jags. It's DeMarcus Robinson and Sky Moore and Kyle Juszczyk leading the way at receiver for these guys.
Rodgers hitting MVS last night.
I know.
The game that we have loyal listeners, so I love it. It was the Bills-Jags game. There were some people that had in certain sites.
That's right.
The Bills
are
1.5 and Jags. Same thing.
Same thing. So let me ask you this. If we get through this weekend and Josh Allen wins and moves on, the pressure's even more next week on him because you're facing C.J. Stroud or Drake May. Now, you may have to go on the road and do it, but so what? You've played in New England a lot. Like, I just think each week that goes on, the pressure just continues to mount and mount and mount for Josh Allen. Like, he's got to get this one. And if he doesn't get it now, people will say, I guarantee you, if they lose this game Monday morning, these people on ESPN screaming at each other will say, will Josh Allen ever win a Super Bowl?
Bob's back on the live stream. He's got Alex Gordon on his left-hand shoulder. That doesn't make sense. Over his left shoulder. You can do that on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, all that sort of stuff. Like and subscribe, and you can see Bob in the picture now. Coming up on the other side, though, we want to get into some odds involving Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. Also, Tony Dungy might have said something right that you might agree with on this here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Diving right back into it in the 8 o'clock hour. There are some odds that came out, offshore odds, that is, so they're not on your sites that you guys spend way too much time on. I see all of you every night. Aaron Rodgers, where he will be in week one of the 2026 season, -150 offshore that he will not be playing / retired in the NFL. I think we can all agree to that. Because you know what he reminded me of last night? I know you guys don't play golf a lot, but every once in a while we'll play with a guy who thinks he's going to shoot a score that he's not capable of shooting. So every bad shot is, oh, God. Oh.
Hey, don't talk about yourself like that.
I used to do that. I know what I am now. It is what it is. I'm not going to go. Just go out there and break 90. That's the goal every time. Just go break 90, which I should. Mm-hmm. I should do that. But if I slice a drive, it's okay. There's still three more shots to make a par. But some guys will go out there and every bad shot, ugh. Club toss, or I'm going to break my club, or, you know, explicit language. I'm like, dude, what are you trying to do out here? Are you trying to shoot an 81? Because you've never shot an 85 in your life. So stop trying to hold yourself to a standard. It's just going to make you frustrated. Mm-hmm. Last night, I don't know if you guys watched this in the detail that I did. It seemed like everything that didn't go right, Aaron Rodgers was,
I feel like it's been that way for a while.
It's been that way since he won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It's been that way
it
for
seemed
a, long
a little egregious
time
last night, and I'm wondering if, like, maybe you're just not the guy you used to be.
Well,
anymore.
Yeah, he's not.
So stop putting yourself to that standard. Plus, Danielle Hunter and whatever his face is, I can't think of it, but they were in your grill all night, dude. But again, like, that's what it reminded me of is the guy that, or if you go play rec basketball and the guy's just like, I'm just having an off night, man. We trying to be Jordan? You ain't Jordan. You're not. You're the guy that the Monstars stole the energy from. You're decent. You're just not good anymore. You don't have that. Don't put yourself to that standard.
Yeah, but athletes don't realize that. They're the last ones to know
men
that they
don't
stink.
Understand that.
Yeah, but the athlete is completely different. Like, they'll never understand. Like, look at Tom Brady right now. He's doing those Pizza Hut commercials. He's really thinking he could go back out there and play. And Michael Jordan could probably go back out there and play. Like, the greatest.
But not to the standard that he could in 1997.
Well, but they all believe that they can. I mean, that Michael Jordan video about the free throw and all that kind of stuff to make sure that he hit that free throw for that family and all that kind of stuff. And I swished it. Like, athletes have a drive that is just different than everybody else. That's why they're able to be at the top of the game. No matter what they're facing, no matter what the adversity is, they believe that they're going to go out there and they're going to win and they're going to beat you and they're going to take care of business. And they never let go of that. And that's what makes them special, right? That I realized a long time ago, I can't do this. But athletes, you look at and they're like, yeah, I can do that. I'll figure it out. I'll find a way. I'll get over the hump. I'll, you know, like Patrick Mahomes at the rehab and all this kind of stuff. They just figure out ways to do it, and they never feel like they're at the end of their line. And so for Aaron Rodgers, like, if he does walk away, and that seems to be the favorite at -150 right now, do we ever hear from Aaron Rodgers again? Like, does he start holding court places? Does he start doing podcasts, TV shows? Is he on the NFL? Is he a big voice once he walks away?
My answer is I hope not, and he's going to tell you no, and then he's going to be everywhere.
Well, you could wish in one hand crap in the other and see which one fills up faster. It's going to be there for him.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, Aikman had mentioned, I can play the audio a little bit later, but he had mentioned that maybe it'd be like a Phillip Rivers story. What if the Phillip Rivers story was in reverse? And I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to piss a lot of people off on the text line. Maybe you're listening as well. Say Mahomes isn't ready by week four. You know where this is going?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, the first 4 weeks of the season. I don't hate that. I mean, look, I like the drama. I like the storyline. It's male gossip. It's what we do. You know, so would that be the best on-field product? Maybe not. Would it be unbelievable for what you and I do every day? Oh, yeah, it would. Hell yeah, it would.
Could you imagine, let's say Mahomes is ready by week four. Even though we've heard reports say he's going to be ready week one, ready to go. He's a freak. You don't know what this guy can do.
Right.
Fair enough. Prove me wrong, right? Like Colin Cowherd said, I'm done doubting. I'm all in on Josh Allen. I'm all in on the Patrick Mahomes. We've seen the ankle. We've seen the knee. We've seen the whatever. He's back, right? But let's say that first 3 weeks of the season, Chiefs come in. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. They go 3-0. He throws for 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's got 700 yards passing. It's going to be hard to tell that guy that he's got to sit back and watch the rest of the season.
Yeah, and that's why Aaron Rodgers would never come here, too, you know, because he's not going to be unseated by anybody at that point in time. It would be enjoyable. It would be fun. Yeah.
Because the odds, +110 offshore for Aaron Rodgers to be a starter quarterback for anybody but the Steelers. I kind of think if Tomlin's there, he might come back. Yeah. If Tomlin's gone, he's not going to put up with anybody else. And then the starting quarterback for another team is 5-1 odds. Mm-hmm. You move on to his head coach and Mike Tomlin. His odds are the favorite to be a TV broadcast job at -150. Again, all offshore betting of odds. Tomlin would be great for that.
It'd be fantastic on TV.
He'd be a lot like Saban, where like the respect is there for what he's done. And when he says something, like you could even have like the same commercial as Tom, like showers no longer than 5 minutes. It's not a spa, you know, that kind of dry ass humor, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like where it's like, it's funny when it's not every day,
yeah,
but it's nice when it, like, I would much rather hear what Mike Tomlin has to say than Terry Bradshaw or Howie Long or Rob Gronkowski. That's just,
I like Howie. The other one, like, I can, I'm enough of Terry, enough. Like, I don't even know what he's
back it up,
I
mean, Terry.
Like, I don't know who's worse, Romo or Bradshaw at this point.
Well,
in
Romo,
because he's to do Romo,
yeah, Romo's not great.
And Gronk, I mean, he's, you know, he's trying so hard. I mean, and I'm being like, you can see him trying. That's how hard he's trying on set. He's thinking, the wheels are moving. He's trying not to be an oaf. You know, he's trying so hard.
But yeah, that was the playoff game last night. Dungy said last night's playoff game and scheduling is not fair. It might produce good ratings, but it's not fair. This late in the season, recovery time is crucial, yada, yada, yada. Several years ago, the league did away with the Monday night games in week 18 of the regular season because it created a disadvantage if one of the teams made the playoffs. Now we create the disadvantage. The wild card round should be 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday. We all agree to that.
Everybody agrees to that. Yeah.
Last night kind of felt forced. Yes. And it was the worst game of the entire week. Playoff weekend was amazing. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best wild card weekend I've ever witnessed. And then Monday night, 30-6, kind of knew that was going to be the outcome. And then it says they tried out to schedule division games so that they have equal rest. Don't force San Francisco, Buffalo, and Houston or Pittsburgh to play the most important game of their season on a short week for just TV ratings. This isn't fair.
Well,
so the playoff scheduling is out. Rams and Bears win on Saturday. They play each other Sunday. 49ers beat the Eagles on Sunday. Now have to play Seattle on Saturday. Bills beat the Jags on Sunday. Now play Denver on Sunday. Houston and Pittsburgh winner, which is now Houston, played Monday night. They'll play New England on Sunday. Three teams will have to play on a short week. Easy solution, they say. Don't schedule on Monday night. Put Rams-Bears on Saturday and Niners-Seahawks on Sunday. Still might have one team on a short week, but not three.
Yeah, well, I'll say, look, man, like for Tony Dungy, this is not fair. I don't buy into the word fair. I think that's a ridiculous word to use. And then to him to go in there and talk about, you know, TV, who pays his salary, by the way. He makes a lot of money off of being terrible and standing there and saying nothing. And I'm sure he's mad that Taylor Swift outright apologized to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and his wife for not being able to attend their wedding, called them personally and said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to attend your wedding, but I'm sending Travis on the private jet anyway. I'm sure, you know, he's mad about that. I would say this. We didn't need a Monday night game. You could have had three Saturday games. You could have had three Sunday games and alleviated, you know, all of that. But I think he's missing the boat here. Stop saying things aren't fair and it's good for TV. TV drives the NFL, Tony. Like, I hate to tell you that. Nothing matters without the TV partners. Take the TV partners away and you don't have a league. So the league is going to do what the TV partners want that are spending $1 billion each on televising NFL games. Sorry, Tony, that's the reality of it. Maybe you should try living in reality once.
Is this too far of a jump to connect a few of these things that we've talked about here today? So complaining about the schedule,
right?
Complaining about Josh Allen's, the quarterbacks he has to go through in the playoffs and go on the road. Yesterday, we heard a lot about the refs in that Jags-Bills game when they couldn't spot a football to save their lives. This complaining about all these different things, I feel like in the past, they all would have been just directed at the Chiefs. The schedule favors the Chiefs. Josh Allen lost because of the Chiefs. Oh, the refs favor the Chiefs. It's like they don't have a place to put their anger this year.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they really don't. Yeah, so that all reporters asking questions they don't like, you know, scheduling, you know, fairly and all this kind of stuff. Like, sports is dictated by TV. Every single sport is dictated by television. And if there was no television paying the freight, we wouldn't have these sports.
No doubt about it. Coming up next, we're going to Start Bench Cut, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Get in the know with Jay's Southland Tow. We'll do Start Bench Cut on the other side of the 9 o'clock hour here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.